Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Inside Scoop Live. Hello, I'm Susan Violante. I'm your host for today. I am really excited to be speaking on the phone with Brett Michael Fett, author of Psychiatrist. This is a fast-paced serial killer thriller like no other. Its twists will keep you glued to the pages. The killer's sick mind will test your stomach. Definitely a great read for those who love the thrill, and a very interesting interview as we visit with the author and learn the workings of a brain when creating a serial killer story. But before we start, let's learn a little bit more about Brett. Brett Michael Fett was born in Longmont, Colorado, and he was raised in Comanche, Iowa. He graduated from Comanche High School in 1985 and went to the Marine Corps. There, he became a helicopter mechanic and eventually assigned to HMS-1, the Presidential Support Squadron. Earning a honorable discharge, he was released from active duty in 1992. He's always been a dedicated bodybuilder, and he competed and won numerous titles until his early retirement due to a back and knee injury. Fett began his aviation career outside the military as a mechanic for a major airline based in Washington, D.C. In 1999, he obtained his private pilot license and began the long road to becoming a commercial airline pilot. He has piloted some of the world's most notable celebrities, from Paris Hilton and Dave Chappelle to Condoleezza Rice and Danny DeVito. Fett presently lives in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and works for a major airline based out of Chicago, Illinois. He is currently working on his next suspense thriller novel. For more information on Brett and his book, visit www.bsinboymichaelfett.com. Hi, Brett. How are you today?
Hey, I'm fantastic. How are you?
Pretty good. Really exciting to have you here because I think your background is fascinating. I had the opportunity to visit your website, and you do everything that I'm so afraid of doing that. So it's like watching, you know, what I could have done in paper.
Well, you know, I didn't start doing crazy things until later in life. So, you know, if you're older and you're looking for adventure, it's never too late.
But before we start, let's actually know a little bit more about yourself, and then we'll go into all the wonderful things that you've done and exciting background. Tell us a little bit more about your background, but let's start with that. Tell me a little bit about your background, and then we'll go how you started writing.
How far back do you want me to go? To where I grew up, kind of, or?
Anything that you want to share with our audience.
Okay, I grew up in a tiny little town in Iowa, right on the Mississippi there, a little town called Comanche. Had aspirations to be a police officer. That's what I was going to be out of school, and took a different course. I actually went into bodybuilding after the military, and did very well at it, succeeded very well, and made it to the national level and almost made it to the pros. But I had a couple of injuries that kind of sidelined me. So then after that, I ended up in aviation, which is what I did in the military. Airplanes is basically all I've ever known. So that's kind of where I went from there.
Mm-hmm.
And writing was kind of an afterthought. So that's kind of, that brings me up to date. But I'm enjoying writing more, and I want to get away from airplanes.
Yeah, but, you know, I found interesting that you, I mean, all the things that you've done have, you know, they don't have really much to do with each other. If you think about it, I mean, you went from the military to bodybuilding, and then from bodybuilding into aviation or vice versa, and then from writer. So how was that transition for you through all these things?
You know,
just wake up one day and say, I'm going to do this today.
They are actually all related. I started bodybuilding when I was 15, and that was kind of my dream. And going into the service, I actually competed for the U.S. Marine Corps in bodybuilding for the last 2 years that I was in. And then when I got out of the service, you know, so I was still working on airplanes in the service, and I was bodybuilding at the same time. And then when I got out, I was a mechanic with American Airlines for like 10 years and bodybuilding at the same time. So it just kind of transitioned one to the next. And I think I got bored. I mean, I was working the midnight shift turning wrenches, and I am not a big fan of being greasy and dirty. And I just said to myself, I've got to get out of this type of work. And, ended up putting myself through flight school. So the transition wasn't that hard. It was just things overlapped, and I just kind of took advantage of opportunities when they arose.
Yeah. It's interesting first of all, I am terrified about airplanes. I don't think it's a fear about flying. I think it's more like a sense of claustrophobia. I'm not in control of it, so, I'm a controlling person, so I don't like it. So I guess that going from mechanic to pilot is, it's basically airplanes to the in its full capacity. Because
yeah, I always say, if I've got two wings and two engines, I'm in good shape. Because from a mechanic standpoint, you've taken this airplane apart. You've seen the insides of it. You know what makes it tick. And to get up front and just operate it, it's kind of like putting it all together. And people, you say it's kind of a control thing. Sometimes I have to sit in the back in the passenger seat, and I sit there, and I'm a little more nervous back here. I'm like, what is this guy doing? So I'm just like you. I think it's a little bit of a control thing.
And I bet you that when you're writing, it's not that different because you're running the show. It's you're flying with your brain and coming up with your stories, and maybe it's kind of a not too different from flying a plane.
It has its similarities. I'm a bit of a perfectionist when it comes to writing, more so in the editing process. Oh, this sentence isn't right. It's not punctuated right, and I really stress that stuff. So I guess it's kind of the same in that I really want to have control over my writing. I don't think I could just write a manuscript and then turn it in and say, okay, they got it. They'll take care of it. I'm one who always wants the final read through. I really want to see the final product and make sure that it meets my expectations. So I think there's a lot of controlling there as well.
Mm-hmm. Your last book, Psychiatrist, that is for our audience, it's available just recently in Amazon.com, and I encourage you to check it out. It's really interesting. What type of background experience did you bring into your writing this book?
This book was, the characters are aviation based. I sit down and say, okay, this is kind of the idea that I have, and how do I twist it? And somebody once said to me, you should write about what you know. And so I kind of put that in this book as, the character, one of the main characters is a pilot, and another one is a flight attendant. And then, how do you twist that? How do you make that not boring and make people really get into it and not be so aviation related? Mm-hmm. So if you make one of those a serial killer, it's a good twist, because a pilot who would be a serial killer, people would think about that and be like, how would you even catch this guy? He's going from city to city. So that's kind of how I put aviation into this particular book.
Yeah. So I have friends that work in the airline, and I always tell them, you guys take airplanes like elevators. You're so used to it because they get all their tickets on their benefits, and they'll call me, and they're here, and they're there. And I found interesting just how you play with the plane part of it. Because, when you look at thrillers that have a serial killer, most of their analysis go by region. If you look at the detective,
right.
Yeah, they have the map,
yep.
And they have all the little things. So it's very interesting. Just how difficult would that be for a detective to find this killer,
Exactly. And it would be very hard because I've brought some of those points to light of some of the difficulties that they would have. Because pilots, when they travel, your name doesn't generally come up on a standard passenger list. When we stay at a hotel, it's sometimes by an employee number. So if somebody was calling at a hotel looking for me, the hotel would say, we don't have that guest here. But if you said he's an airline employee, then they go to another list and they would find that. And these are things that maybe your average police departments aren't aware of, So it would be kind of difficult.
Yeah. Now, how did you balance when writing a serial killer type of book? How do you balance how much gruesomeness do you include in your writing? And Is this gruesomeness something that you control, you don't control, or it just happened when you put that story down? This is just my own curiosity because I write a total different type of book. And yet, since it was war-oriented, there were points where I wondered what to do. I didn't know what to do. But in this case, it gets worse because you're living the craziness of a sick mind.
Exactly.
Yeah. So how did this thought process go? Give me an example of when you were working on one of the scenes.
Okay. The biggest thing, your serial killer kills somebody. He's a pilot. And he has to get rid of this evidence.
Mm-hmm.
What's the best way he could get rid of this evidence? And that is to put this body, say, in a suitcase. Because that's something he uses all the time. He travels with that nonstop. So as far as the gruesomeness, you know, you try to take the shock value out of it, yet you twist it enough to the reader goes, oh, my goodness, that's really bizarre, which is kind of the effect you're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
And what people don't realize is if you actually took a human body and managed to stuff it into a suitcase as a pilot, you walk right through security because we don't have our bags x-rayed. We're basically just showing an ID and we just keep on walking through. So you could carry that on an airplane without a problem. And I've actually showed that process in the book. As far as the gruesomeness, you know, you say, okay, I have to kill this character. And you kill the character and you're like, okay, now I have to get rid of the evidence. So I try not to be too gruesome. I let it take its course, and then in the editing process, then I have to evaluate, okay, is this too much? Is it not enough? And then I tweak it from that point.
Mm-hmm. Is this your first book?
This is actually my third book.
Wow. And do you write always this type of genre, or do you have other...
Well, my first book was my autobiography. That came out in 2009, and that's pretty much my life story and how, basically what it took to get into the cockpit of an airliner as a pilot. And it's got, you know, I had a rough upbringing, drugs, homelessness, and all that's kind of encompassed in that. So a lot of those experiences that I had in early life, those kind of get wrapped up in books. But I love the suspense thriller. I like anything that can make somebody's imagination take a twist and have them go, wow. If you can do that to a reader, if you can have them envision things, like I've actually had critics say, you know, I'm reading this scene and I can envision this in a movie. To me, that is a huge compliment because I actually took them out of their, you know, everyday life and put them somewhere else for that amount of time.
I remember once somebody told me that writing was like daydreaming. And I think that reading is like daydreaming. So that's exactly what readers and writers have in common. We both like to daydream and escape our current reality by either creating one or reading something that somebody else create. So I wonder, when you're creating your world in your books, and even if it's your own biography, do you find yourself, I don't know, let's say I am... In my books, I'm always going to be beautiful, for example. If I'm writing about myself, I'm always going to be beautiful. So do you take that fun part when you're writing process, or you're all serious in business? And
I think I'm kind of more serious all business about it. I know where I'm going to be when I start the book. I know where I want it to be when it finishes. And whatever happens in between, as far as I'm concerned, is a free-for-all.
Mm-hmm.
As long as I get from A to B at some point.
Mm-hmm.
So, I let the book take its course. And then if I like it, fine. If I don't, then I'll tweak it to something that I do like. But as far as like something like, am I always beautiful in my book? No, I don't think so. I don't think so.
I love to write and imagine things, how I would love to have things in my life or just create magical words and, you know, worlds in my mind. So I could never, even though I'm a fan, I'm 100% a fan of thrillers and whether it's horror, serial killers, detective, I'm a big reader of all these genres. For some reason, it's funny that I am totally different in my writing. And I noticed that your writing also is not the same. You went from your biography to a fiction thriller. So I'm wondering, how much in this thriller, how much is it based on true experiences that you might have had, or characters based on people that you have met in your life?
Other than the aviation part of it, none whatsoever. Wow. It is a total daydream. It's something that I put together. It just took a scenario. I'll actually watch people in the airport. I do a lot of people watching. And as they go by, I say, okay, there's a guy in a three-piece suit carrying an attaché case, and then I can build a character off him.
Mm-hmm.
and give it some kind of scene or scenario and see where it goes. And that's basically what happened here in Psychiatrist. I took a pilot and said, what if he was a serial killer? And it just kind of grew, and it took a few turns. In fact, Psychiatrist wasn't the original title. And, I introduced a psychiatrist as a character in the book, and she became the main character.
Oh, wow.
So things change. It can vary very easily.
And we'll be back with more Inside Scoop Live after these important announcements.
Inside Scoop Live is a global internet-based broadcast specializing in interviewing published authors about their current books and areas of expertise. Join us and hear both well-known and upcoming writers talking candidly about their life experience as well as the business of being an author in today's literary world. Always interesting and current, we strive to bring our audience high-quality discussions that spotlight a vast diversity of authors in the field today. Our interviews are available 24/7 through Direct Podcast as well as MP3 download for your convenience. Please visit us on InsideScoopLive.com.
Welcome back to Inside Scoop Live. Today I'm talking with Brad Michael Fett, author of Psychiatrist. Stay tuned because we are going to continue this interesting, personal, and inspiring conversation with Michael about writing thrillers, hitting rock bottom, and pushing through to reach for his dreams and goals. But in the meantime, you can check out his book, Psychiatrist, by visiting his website at www.bmichaelfett.com. And that is B as in boy, michaelfett.com. Before, when we started the interview, I did mention that I found your background in life very interesting. And it is mostly because I know that you have gone through some challenges, like we all did, but you not only overcame your challenges, you excelled at what you would make yourself do, So for our audience, how do you do this? How do you motivate yourself to overcome challenges and reach the goals that you set yourself into?
I've always had a picture of where I wanted to be in life. And when things didn't pan out the way I wanted them to, I mean, I was at rock bottom. When you're at rock bottom, you're looking up and you're like, I am at rock bottom. I have to change. And the changes have to come from within. At one point in my life, I was $45,000 in debt on credit cards and living in my truck. And all the while, I'm thinking to myself, I want to be a success in life. And here's what I have to do to make that happen. And I just took each thing, I listed everything out on paper. And then I took each one. I said, what do I have to do to make this happen? Okay, I have to get a college degree. Okay, so that was my first thing. And I did an online degree. And then the next thing was, okay, I want to be a pilot. So what do I have to do to make that happen? And I just took it one at a time. You just have to have that dedication and the drive. You have to set the goal and know where you want to be. And, at some point, you're going to go sideways. You're going to go the other way. You might go back a little bit. But eventually, if you keep plugging along, you're going to end up at that goal. And that's the way I'd looked at it. And this is my goal, and I'm going to get there. And then, the first time I was sitting in the cockpit of an airliner, I'm looking out the window at 37,000 feet, and I said, you know what? I made it. Mm-hmm. I reached that goal, finally.
You were literally on top of the world there because you were flying.
Exactly. Exactly. I was on top of the world. And it was a great feeling. And now it's, I get up there and look out, and I'm like, okay. I reached this goal, but here's another goal I would really like to do, as far as writing and making a living at writing and get away from airplanes altogether. You put out a book and you hope it's a book that sells and you hope that you can reach that next goal. And I'm just one of those guys who I'm always looking to do something else, always looking and trying to reach that pinnacle.
Yeah, so how do you keep that enthusiasm alive when you reach? There's some people that tell me, if you ask me right now, have you lived all your dreams? I can really say almost all of them, you know, because I keep coming up with new ones. And I still don't understand how I come up with new ones, because I've been very blessed. I went from every single goal that I wanted have not come true. But I can tell you that I can remember the dreams that I had as a 13-year-old in South America, and they all came true, whether I recognized them at the time or not. If I do a list, I have done all the things that I dreamed as a 13-year-old. So I wonder, how do you keep that enthusiasm? Okay, so you're at the cockpit of this plane, and you're flying, and you're thinking of when you were in your truck, and you're, you know, you are in the rock bottom, and you got there. And all right, so I reached my goal. What do you go? Like, what's next? You know, how do you keep that? How do you keep creating your dreams?
That's exactly what I ask myself. Okay, what's next? And I found that I love to write. So then you say, wow, what would it be like to write a bestseller? So, you know, you start absorbing everything about writing. You start learning the business, you know, your relationship with your editor, your graphic artist, and you say, okay, what do I got to do to get a bestseller? You got to get a good story. You got to get a following. So, you know, that's kind of the direction I'm going in now is, man, I'd love to have a bestseller. So you try to put out a good book. But even if I wrote a bestseller, if psychiatrists hit the bestseller chart, I'd say, okay, what's next? So, you know, I'm just one of those guys. I'm like, I have an endless bucket list of things I want to do. I've always wanted to see, you know, like vacationing, Seven Wonders of the World. I got to finally get to Machu Picchu down in Peru. And this year I'm going to China. There's just always something there that, you know, and I think that's what keeps life interesting. If you sit home every day and do absolutely nothing and you say, you know what, I'm totally satisfied, I really don't want that kind of life. I don't want to sit there and go, okay, I'm satisfied. Because, you know, when my number's up, I want to say, wait a minute, I'm not done. I got another book coming out. What are you doing? And that's where I want to be. There's always something next. It just keeps life interesting.
Yeah, it sure does. In all this time since you were in that truck, I'm imagining that, you know, as you tackle new things in your life and you reach your new goals, you've learned life lessons in your life. What would you tell yourself in that truck, knowing what you know now?
That's a great question. You know, a lot of people have asked me, what would you change? And I wouldn't change anything. That whole experience of having to go through that, it was such a learning experience of things not to do in life. Like, to this day, I have no credit card debt. I will not use a credit card unless something tragically happens. You know, there's just so many lessons to learn from that. In fact, I still have that same truck. I'm still driving that same truck. What would I tell myself? That, you know, set the goal and go for it. And you know, when I fell asleep at night in that truck, listening to the rain banging on the roof, you know, I just said, okay, I'm not going to be here forever. And I knew I wouldn't be there forever. And I just kept, you know, and you just had to set a goal. That's what I kept telling myself then. That's what I keep telling myself now. Okay, you've got the goal. You can do this. You're going to get there.
That's awesome.
That's about all I can say about that. It was just an incredible experience. I don't recommend anybody pack it up, move in their truck anytime soon, but I learned a lot. Yeah, I learned a lot about myself in those 2 years.
Yeah. I want to tell people where to find you, because the book is excellent. Our reviewer, William, said he was glued to the pages because it's a fast-moving, exciting read. I really recommend you check it out. But not only that, on your website you also have your biography, and I think it's also worth mentioning on this podcast, because we learn from other people's examples, and you definitely have an interesting background and an inspiring story. So for our listeners, check out his website. His website is www.bmichaelfett.com, and that is B as in boy, michaelfett.com. Please don't miss his website. Check out his book, Psychiatrist, on Amazon, which just came out. And if you were to talk to a, I don't know, let's say a teenager right now, and they ask you, how can I become a writer? What would you tell them?
You know, I'm a firm believer that there's three things you need to write. And one is an incredible imagination. Two, if you're going to do something like a biography or some kind of history, you have to have the experience. And three, you have to have knowledge of a subject. So for a kid who wants to be a writer, the thing that inspired me in school, I took an English class, and we read the Hobbit series back in, I think I was a freshman or in eighth grade. I would tell them to get into those classes. Take the writing courses, not so much for the command of the English language, but something that is going to spark your imagination. And J.R.R. Tolkien, he sparked my imagination back then. I didn't know much about writing back then, but I highly recommend that in school you get in those writing classes, you get in the reading classes, and let your imagination run. And if maybe in your hometown there's a book signing, even if it's not your favorite author, somebody you don't even know, just go there, pick their brain, find out how they got into the business. I highly recommend that as far as a teenager. Just take those classes because it will spark something in you.
That's a great advice. Brett, where can, other than your website, your fans and readers connect with you?
You can find me on Twitter. It's at B. Michael Fett. You can find me on Facebook. Just search B. Michael Fett, and it'll bring up my my Facebook page. You can find me there. There's a lot of crazy pictures from vacations I've taken. A lot of the book reviews get posted on there. You can always drop me a line there as well. Also on my website, I've got a contact form there. So those are probably the three places to really get a hold of me.
And what's next?
Actually, you know what? I've written a movie. It was one of these stories that yanked me out of bed. I wrote a screenplay, and a guy I went to school with, he's a cameraman and works for a film company, and they're currently taking a look at it. We're going to see if we can't work something out with it. I've also got a book that's already in the can, and I'm working on another one as well. I'm about five chapters into that, so writing just never stops anymore. It's something I really want to pursue. It's something I enjoy. So I've got a lot of projects going on, and hopefully I'll get those finished up in the next year or so. Maybe my next spring we'll have another book out.
Definitely an author to follow, audience. Connect again with him also in his website, B as in boy, michaelfett.com, and that's bmichaelfett.com. I noticed on your website, and I thought it was an awesome idea, and I want to tell this to those of you indie writers and authors that have very limited budget to get publicists to do your promotion online. You have on your website a portion where it says photos, and then in there is things I do when I'm not working or writing. I think it's awesome. I mean, how long does it take to upload a picture? You know?
Exactly.
And, you know, and you say everything with each picture, you know, and we learn about you so much with all the pictures that we see in this page. And so how did you come up with that idea?
You know, you just take a vacation. You see everybody posts things on Facebook. But people that want to know about you, they read your books, and in the back you have two lines that say about the author. Here's where I was born, and here's, you know, what I'm doing now. They really don't get to know you. But if they see you hiking a mountain in Peru, they say, you know what, this guy likes to get outdoors. He likes to enjoy himself. I think there's one picture on there where I have my head stuck in one of those holes, and it's an octopus. I was at the Denver Aquarium. I mean, when people see that, they're like, boy, that is an absolutely ridiculous picture. But then they see the real you. They're like, hey, this guy isn't afraid to be a clown once in a while in public. So, you know, hey, I'm right on the right along those lines myself. So then I think they connect with you. They feel like, you know what, this is an everyday guy. I'm an everyday guy. You know, we're really on the same plane.
I have to say that it was so enjoyable. I really linger into and watch the rest of the page as well. Because I went there and I said, oh, what is this, photos? And then I just started checking out the rest of it because I really enjoyed seeing the way you present it, you know. And then you went, how your titles, they're so personal. They're just so personalized.
Exactly. I think people relate to that, especially in this digital world where you know, you don't have face-to-face with a lot of people, so you're living through Facebook and pictures and this and that. And when they see that, you throw a crazy caption up there, they kind of chuckle in there and say, you know what, I can relate to that, you know. So hopefully when I get back from China this fall, I'm going to put some China pictures up there as well. So
well, sure,
that'll
be looking
good
for them. I hope you have a lot of fun in China. And this has been such a great interview. I really enjoyed talking to you again. For authors, we're speaking with Brad Michael Fett, and his book, Psychiatrist, is just now out in Amazon. Check it out. You really, really need to check out this book. It's a thriller, and it will keep you glued to the pages. But also check out his website, because you can copy stuff from there. Ideas, you know? No, I'm kidding. But do check out his website. He has other books there, and such an inspiring person for our youngsters that I certainly hope a lot of people read your biography as well. So, again, thank you for being here. And
well, thanks for having me. It was enjoyable, very enjoyable.
I look forward to your movie and your upcoming books. Definitely will be following you. Readers, thank you again for joining us, and until next time.